Praise the Lord. I want to make one little announcement. All of the messages from the youth conference in audio form are at Dave Roberson's website. And I'll tell you, every single one of them was life-changing, I thought. Every single one. Now, there was one of them that I did where I used a lot of props, and I just used the visuals on that. If you don't see that one, you're not going to get everything that the Lord's trying to get across to you. So that one we have put over at our YouTube channel, Gary Carpenter Ministries. And I checked it. If you'll just go to YouTube and do a search with these words, the mechanism of righteousness, it'll come up. Okay? The mechanism of righteousness. So just letting you know, that one's available if you want to watch it visually at our YouTube channel. All right. Now, was there anybody not here to hear Sunday morning's message titled, Have No Fellowship with Darkness? So everybody's caught up. Thank God. Because I kept trying to think how I was going to review that. And we'd be here the whole hour. It's too much information. So that's good. So if you haven't heard it, listening or watching by internet, you need to hear Sunday morning's message. We started off in the first chapter of 1 John. And I just believe the Lord did an outstanding job. I learned a lot, and I think we all did. So after this service, and you need to go back and hear that service, okay? Have no fellowship with darkness, and it was Sunday, the 10 o'clock service. Well, that's good, because now tonight, you can just go ahead and open up to 1 John chapter 2. We're going to pick right up where we left off. The only thing I'm going to remind you of is this, and by the way, I use, now there's lots of chronological Bibles out there. I have tried quite a few over the years. The one that I like, my favorite, is the Rees Chronological Bible, and they've done their best to put everything in the chronological order, and they even give you the years. But I'll tell you, if you study very long, you won't take very long for you to find out. There's lots of disagreement when it comes right down to the years, okay? So we're going to paint with a broad brush. We're going to do macro, okay? Some of them will say, well, Jesus was crucified in A.D. 29. Another one will say A.D. 30. I've had some of them say as late as A.D. 33. Well, let's take an average. Let's say about A.D. 30, okay? That's roughly, all right? And they'll vary also like when Peter and Paul were martyred in the same year. They were martyred by Nero. History, not the Bible, tells us that Paul was beheaded and Peter was crucified upside down at his own request. He didn't want to be crucified the same way as his Lord. Well, they both died within the same year, and again, you'll find some discrepancy, AD 64, AD 65, 66, even 67. Let's take an average and say 65, just ballpark. So their ministry, if you take Jesus was crucified in A.D. 30, and then Paul, his ministry started, Peter's ministry started, and they were martyred in A.D. 65. So what's that, 35 years, right? They had about 35 years of ministry. And that's a long time, 35 years. But then the Gospel of 1 John, and you'll find some variants on here too. Some say A.D. 85, some say A.D. 90. One of them even says A.D. 95. Let's take the shortest one. We'll just take A.D. 85. That's 20 years. John outlived Peter by 20 years. He outlived Paul by 20 years. And that's just when he wrote 1 John. He wrote the book of Revelations, according to most of them, about 10 years after that, about A.D. 95. Most of them say John lived to be over 100 years old. He finished his life in Ephesus, where Timothy was. And he's the only one of the apostles that was not martyred. And it's not that they didn't try. Like I said Sunday, they even boiled him in oil. And like I said, down south, we'd say that it normally would get her done, right? That had normally accomplished the job. But with him, he just thanked him for the bath. And went on. Come on, lighten up a little bit. Come on. Gee, my goodness. Well, how does Nathan do? Loosen up a little bit. So, the way John starts, I'll just read the first couple of verses. Because the point I'm trying to make here, John, after all of these years, at least 50 years of ministry. You know, Dave, when he would teach on 1 John, he says, we don't give that book the reverence. The Gospel of John are the events that happened, and he was a faithful eyewitness and recorded accurately when John was a very young man. But 1 John is written after a lifetime of serving Jesus, at least half a century. I mean, come on. And the thing of it is, John, right in the beginning, he's telling you he is a faithful witness. He says, I am still an eyewitness. Well, let's just read it for yourself. 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Now, I'm looking at what time I'm really starting. Okay. That which was from the beginning. That's going to be important tonight. Remember that. That which was from the beginning. You'll see why in a little while. Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Who's he talking about? Jesus. And as David's taught us over and over, Jesus was the first human on planet Earth to have the life of God on the inside of him since the fall of Adam. He is literally life wrapped in fallen human flesh. John says it was manifested to us, or in verse 2, for the life was manifested, we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Now he's saying, I am an eyewitness. I'm not repeating things to you secondhand. I have touched him. I have handled him. I have sat and heard him with my own ears. I mean, after all, John was the one at the Last Supper. He was the one that was leaning back on Jesus' chest, you know. He referred to himself, I wonder about the humility, but anyway, I'm the one that Jesus loved, you know. I just always wondered what the other disciples thought about that. But anyway, that's another story. But he's being a faithful witness. Look at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Let me clarify. I'm not adding to it. I'm not taking away from it. What I have seen and what I have heard, that's what I'm telling you. Why? That your fellowship, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. All right, you can go on over to chapter 2 now. Now, Sunday we ended in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, so I'm not going to even try and summarize all of that. If I tried, that would take up nearly the whole hour. But I am going to tell you this. All through this book, John is being a faithful witness to what Jesus said all through Jesus' ministry. But especially in John 8:12, when Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now in chapter 1, we especially went through all those verses that John talked about. He says, if you walk in darkness and say you have fellowship with him, you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. The truth is not in you. Okay. Now, that was really the theme of chapter 1. We also did a little preview over in chapter 3, which we're going to do chapter 3 eventually in great detail. Okay, with that all said, now we're going to pick it. Hallelujah. We're going to pick it up today in 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments. Here we go again. He's a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now remember my instruction this time. I mean, I have studied 1 John. I have. To me, it's kind of a difficult book. I've assimilated. I know other men that have too. And there's, anyway. But this time around, the Lord got it across to me that John is simply being a faithful witness to teach the same things that Jesus taught. Remember last week we started in Matthew 28 where he says, I want you to go into all the world And I want you to teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So this time through, what I'm doing, every sentence, because what he told me, he says, find the teachings of Jesus in every verse. Well, that's what I'm doing. And I'll go through there and I'll read it and I'll pray and I'll listen until I begin to, the Holy Spirit begins bringing to my mind what the teachings that John is basing these statements on. Well, let's look at these statements again. Hereby we do know that we know him. You do know that every Christian says that they know Jesus. Doesn't matter how they're living. If you say, do you know Jesus? Oh yeah, I know Jesus. Mm-hmm. But John says, well, you want to know that you know him? Here's how you know that you know him. If you keep his commandments. He that saith I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Now, John is teaching precisely the same things Jesus taught in multiple places. Jesus said many times that safety was only for those who were doers of the word. Now, let's look at some of them. Go to Luke 6. I'm not going to hurry through this. I don't care if we're in 1 John the rest of the year myself. I just want to get it. I want to get it and get it all. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Very familiar. Now, John just got through saying, here's how you know that you know him. If you keep his commandments. Could you say it this way? If you do what he says? Isn't that the same thing? Well, Jesus asked a good question in Luke 6, 46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoso cometh to me and heareth my sayings, now notice, if you underline, and doeth them. Now here's a doer. I'll tell you to whom he's like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Now here's your hearer only. But he that heareth and doeth not. Let's say it the way John said it. He that hears his commandments but doesn't do them. Well, he's like a man without a foundation. He built a house upon the earth, and against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the house of that ruin was great. Now see, back up just a little more over to Matthew 7. Here's another place where Jesus said the same thing. Matthew 7, starting in verse 21, all John is doing is being a faithful witness. Now, I've got to remind you again how John said it. Hereby we do know that we know him. Know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now watch. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many, notice, not a few, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Now I discovered something here that's probably everybody else knows, but I didn't know it. In Matthew 7:23, see where it says, I never knew you, that word knew. And then up in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, where it says, we do know that we know him. All three of those knows. Know that we know, that's two of them. And then I never knew. They're all the same Greek word. It's G1097. And it's gnosko. And it simply means what you think. It means to know. So John, 50 years later, is using the same Greek word that he heard Jesus use 50 years ago. Talk about a faithful witness. There's a lot of words he could have chosen. But he said, this is the one Jesus used. This is one I'm going to use. That just sends chills down my spine. My feet are wanting to go. And we just got started good. Man, I want to be a witness like that for Jesus. I want to be a faithful witness. I don't want to alter it. I don't want to change it. I don't want to water it down. I want to stand and deliver the truth if they crucify me for it. I loved it. I just about had a running fit when I found that out. 50 years later, I'm going to use the same word he has heard him use. Jesus, he did not alter what Jesus said at all. He is sticking exactly with what Jesus said. What did Jesus say? Let's hammer this home just a minute. If you say that you know me on that, but you did not obey my commands. Let's say it another way in the context of the letter. If you continued to walk in darkness, even though I set you free, if you continued to work iniquity on that day, I will say, I never knew you. Depart from me. Here's another witness for you. Paul, also a faithful witness. He taught the same thing. You can go ahead and look at this one if you want to. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Very familiar. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. You want to take a guess as to which Greek word that is? It's gnosko. Same Greek word. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I was praying and meditating on this, and this sentence floated up in my spirit, and I believe it's the Holy Ghost. Either you will depart from iniquity now, or you will depart from Jesus then. Now that's not preached very heavy in America. But that's the truth. Isn't that exactly what Jesus said? You better depart from it. Now, the man in 1 Corinthians, the one that had his father's wife, he was making his behavior known to the church. I mean, they were living that way openly. He was coming to church like everything's, me and God are buds. We're good. I know him. Me and God. Yeah, we're okay. That heresy had already crept into the church in the first century, that lasciviousness was covered by the grace of God. Oh yeah, we can live like this and I'm still a good Christian, you know. He was calling himself a Christian, living in such vile sin that even the heathen would not allow that. By his coming to church, he was saying, I know Jesus. I'm in fellowship with him. It doesn't matter that I'm living in vile iniquity. I know him. John says the man is a liar and the truth is not in him. He, no matter what he says, he does not know Jesus. John is holding fast to what Jesus said to those who cried, Lord, Lord, but did not do his commandments. Jesus says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. John is not watering down nor altering what he heard Jesus say 50 years ago. John is a faithful witness. He is simply teaching what he heard Jesus teach. Let me read it one more time. 1 John 2, verses 3 through 4, I'm sorry. Hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now I just picked four statements here. I've been Christian for quite a while. I've been counseling for quite a while. I've heard these kind of things. I know him. Somebody might come and say, well, I know Jesus. I know him. But, you know, me and my girlfriend, we've been living in fornication for 2 years. You're a liar. No, you don't know him. Not according to John. I'm going to take John's opinion over your opinion. John didn't even have an opinion. This is not an opinion. This is what the Lord said. See, I don't have a right to an opinion. I have a right to be a faithful witness. How about this one? I know him. I know him. But I get drunk on alcohol and high on drugs every week. See how quiet it is in here? See, Sunday morning we went through that list. Paul says those that do these things, one of them was drunkard. One of them was pharmakia, drug abuse. Said those that do those things, they're not going to inherit the kingdom. In fact, he says they will not have any. The way he worded it, they will not have any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Here's the third one. Because one of them was thief. One of those things, thief. Oh, I know him. But I make a living using internet scams to steal money. Liar. You don't know him. The men of God, men and women of God, are going to have to stand up, get some spine, and tell the truth. When people think they're okay and they're not okay. I think I heard Bronk say this within the last week or two. He says, I'm afraid a lot of people on that day, they think they're okay and they're going to wake up in hell and go, how did this happen? Then they're probably going to go looking for that preacher that told them they were okay. And they'll probably find him anyway. I added that last part, but I like it. One more, and then we'll move on. Y'all ready for me to move on? Here's another one. Kind of stuff I've counseled in the past. I know him. I know Jesus. I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. But I do cheat on my wife once in a while. You don't know him. No, you don't. You need to get saved. You do not know him. You're practicing and working iniquity. All right, moving on. 1 John chapter 2, let's look at verses 5 and 6. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. Now that's a good, important thing to know. How many want to know you're in him? I do. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Now Jesus taught, if we love him, we'll keep his commandments. Again, did you see what John said there? Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. He again is just teaching what Jesus taught. You can go to these if you want to. John 14:21. Jesus said, red letters, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Now let's just stop for a minute. If words mean anything, if you said it this way, he that hath my commandments and refuses to keep them, they don't love me. Isn't that right? If words mean anything at all, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. But it all hinges on he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. See? Same passage, John 14:23-24. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Isn't that what John just said? And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You can't get any more plain than this. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Now that's something we covered Sunday morning. Jesus said, this doctrine is not mine. All I'm doing is telling you. See, why is Jesus called the Word? Because he brought to us what the Father told him. Not only in word, but in deed. He said to Philip, Philip says, well, just show us the Father. And he says, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. See, I'm telling you, we're rapidly coming to the place where the world is, we're going to say without fear and without shame, if you have seen me, you've seen Jesus. I'll tell you, what if I say it this way? For most people, you are the only Jesus they're ever going to see. We better be keeping his commandments. We say we know him. And the thing of it is, see, you don't get legalistic on this. The grace of God is this. He put a nature in you that is empowered so that you can keep it. And that's that very mechanism of righteousness that I was teaching. David helped me with and Joe helped me with during the youth conference. And now it is available. Look up the mechanism of righteousness. But you are empowered to do it now. You can do it. People in the old covenant couldn't, but you can. Okay, John. And again, I'm just showing you how John in his epistle is simply teaching, being faithful to teach what he heard Jesus teach 50 years ago. So here's another place where Jesus taught the same thing. He that loves me keeps my commandments. And that's John 15, starting in verse 9. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Now notice, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He's not asking us to do something. Remember we did I heard Bronk do it first and then I copied it and told you it was mine. No, I'm sorry. It was called the road tested life. Jesus, that life that's on the inside of you, you know it's the same life that was in him. See, he has already road tested this life. He has already, let me prove this for you. And for 30 years, without the baptism in the Holy Ghost, he road tested this life. And he said, it's good. I can keep the will of my Father. I can keep his word by this life that's in me. You know what that means? I'm putting that same life in you, and you're not going to walk in darkness the same way I didn't walk in darkness. I've road tested it for you. It's good. Man, I like that. Got Bronk for preaching it first, but anyway. Verse 10 again. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now here it is. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now notice this. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, I've studied this out a lot. Love one another does not mean... Pastors have enough trouble getting the brethren to love one another in church. But I'm going to show you from Jesus' own teachings, he's going way beyond that. Love one another does not mean just loving the Christian brethren. Jesus said even sinners love those that love them. Jesus said our love is to even include our enemies. Now look at... You can turn if you want. Luke 6, starting in verse 27. But I say unto you which hear. Here it is. Love your enemies. What? Does that sound like a commandment to you? Nobody is saying nothing. Love your enemies. Now, you might as well know. You have to be born again in order to do that. That's got to be the love of God on the inside of you. But the wonderful thing is, you've got it on the inside of you. See? And you can. You can literally love your enemies. Jesus did. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. I'm going to go ahead and read this. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. That word despitefully, they're doing it out of spite. They're doing it and they know they're doing it. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer him also the other. Him that takes away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. You remember Dave would say, they come to take away your car. He said, well, let me fill it up with gas for you first. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that even he taketh away thy goods. In other words, by force, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. Now later in this same chapter, Luke 6, he says, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? You say you know him. You say you love him. Then we're supposed to walk as he walked. Well, how did he walk? He forgave people their trespasses against him. He prayed for those who were killing him, even while they were killing him. He did not, and get this, he did not wait to forgive them until they repented. When they quit killing me, I'll forgive them. He didn't wait, I'm going to say it this way, he did not wait until they repented to love them. He did not wait until they repented to pray for them. He did not wait till they repented before he did good for them. And how did he do that? He died for them. Here's the counseling again. Brother Gary, I love him and I know him. But I will not forgive what those people did to me. How about this one? I know him and I love him. But I'm not going to pray for them until they repent. I've heard this one a lot. I know him and I love Jesus. I know him and I love him. But I won't pray for them until they apologize. You're not walking as he walked. You're not letting that love of God come to harvest on the inside. We have got a ways to go. Thank God for Pastor Dave. Today we're not going to get into the purging of limbs, but those are the very kind of limbs that the Holy Ghost will purge off of you. See? We're not too much talking about, at this point, I hope we're not still talking about blatant sin, you know? But it's things like this, you know? Unforgiveness. I'll forgive them if they apologize. It's not like him. He wants to purge that kind of stuff. That's all self. He wants to purge that stuff off of us. It's not that you're not bearing fruit. We are. But he says even if you're bearing fruit, your Father wants to purge you. Why? So you bear more fruit. Amen? Okay. So, you know, like that last one I said, I know him, Brother Gary. I know him and I love him. But I won't pray for them until they apologize. Well, I wrote this. If that's your attitude, you're not really walking like him. You better make sure you're in him. See, that's scary. John says this is how you know that you're in him. You know what the consequences are if you're not in him? If you truly abide in him, you keep his commandments. You will forgive. You will love your enemies. And you will pray for them and do good to them that hate you. Jesus taught us about loving our neighbor many times. Too many to do in this one session. But I heard Homer, my friend Homer Betancourt in Immokalee. Boy, he did a great job. About the Good Samaritan, I recommend it to you if you have a chance to go listen. But he taught this lesson. He says, what you got to remember, you can be, if you want, you can go to Luke 10. I'm going to read that story to you. See, the Jews hated the Samaritans. I mean, hated them, despised them. They would route their trips around Samaria. They didn't even want to dirty their feet on Samaritan soil. They hated the Samaritans. So Jesus, on purpose, when he tells this story, because that lawyer had asked him, well, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor, you know? Luke 10, starting in verse 30, Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. So where's he going from? Jerusalem. This is a Jew. He's going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, he came and looked on him, and he passed by on the other side. Now get this. Here's a wounded Jew, half dead, laying on the side of the road. Always remember this. Dead religion is no help. Religious people, Well, you better find someone with the love of God in them. So here comes this Samaritan. And this guy, this half-dead Jew that he finds, hates him. He knows that he hates him. If anyone had a right in the natural to go over to the other side, it's him. See, the Levite was a fellow Jew, and he passed him by. The priest was a fellow Jew, and he passed him by. But here comes one of those evil, wicked, according to the Jews, Samaritans. And he sees this guy that he knows he hates him. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now remember, this guy hates him. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, today it'd be a motel, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. This is what it means to love your enemies. He's given us a perfect example of what it means. Notice both a priest and a Levite, fellow Jews, saw the half-dead man, but they did not love him. Avoid dead religion at all costs. They passed by on the other side to avoid him. But when the hated Samaritan saw him, he had compassion on him. He bound up his wounds, poured in the oil and the wine, set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn and took care of him. Then he took even more money out of his own pocket to provide for the man and promised if that wasn't enough, he'd pay the rest out of his own pocket when he came back. And he did all of that for a man who hated him. Jesus says to all of us, go and do thou likewise. Is that good stuff? Here comes people for counseling. Brother Gary, they hate me over there. They hate me. Could be their relatives, could be neighbors. They hate me. I will not pray for them. Here's another one. They talk evil about me all the time. I will not forgive them. Here's the third one. Brother Gary, they gossip about me and my family. I will not love them. I will not do good to them. Well, if I see them suffering, they had it coming. Now, Jesus said, you know not what spirit you're of. That is not the spirit of the love of, that is not the love of God being manifest through you. Now, for this next one, we need to take up a small love offering. It's just too good. It's too good. 1 John 2, look at verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Man, now this one puzzled me for a little bit. What do you do? Shandai my Hyundai, I've tied my bow tie. Should have bought a Hyundai, but I bought a Hyundai, you know. Been assimilating for years. I'm sitting and listening. And you know what floated up? You don't have to turn there. It's too far back. Leviticus 19:18. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is an old commandment. They had this under the law. Leviticus 19:18. Even under the old covenant, this was the commandment of God. Jesus taught us how serious God was about people obeying this commandment when he taught concerning the rich man and Lazarus. Many think that was a parable. No, Jesus said it was a certain rich man, an individual. And also he told us the name of the beggar. It's not a parable. He gave us the name of the guy. His name is Lazarus. Now, in the context, remember, this is in Luke 16. Jesus was rebuffing the Pharisees and the scribes. They were supposed to be the shepherds of Israel. They got mad at him because back in Luke 15, they saw him out amongst the sinners because he came to seek and save that which is lost. He starts correcting them through all of those teachings, the lost coin, the lost sheep, the prodigal son, the unjust steward. Now he's finally come to this one, trying to show them how they are in violation of the law. They're not keeping the commandment. So Luke 16, starting in verse 19, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. He's not asking much, is he? He just wants the crumbs that falls from the rich man's table. But the rich man didn't even give him that. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his wounds. And it came to pass that the beggar died. I'll never forget the time I heard Pastor Dave when he was teaching on this. And he drew such a word picture for me. He says, Lazarus probably died within earshot of fine china and the tinkling of wine glasses as they dined, not even giving him a crumb. So it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. This is not a parable. This is a real story. I believe this is an absolutely real, there is a real hell to shun. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, and neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So then he said, this is the rich man, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him, and that's Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Boy, now listen carefully. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. I put in brackets for my own learning. They already have the word. They have it in Leviticus 19:18. It is their choice to be doers of it or not. But they already have the word. Verse 30, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. There are consequences to being a hearer only. So I wrote this to myself, really. I said, do you remember the priest and the Levite who crossed to the other side of the road to avoid the man who was left half dead? Remember them? The Good Samaritan? This parable also was directed at the Pharisees and the scribes, because they loved religion and the admiration of men, but they cared nothing for the lost sheep of Israel. Do you suppose that rich man and Lazarus, do you suppose that rich man heard the law read in the synagogue every Sabbath? I figure he did. You reckon he had heard Leviticus 19:18 read countless times during his lifetime? He heard it. You know he heard it. Again and again he heard it. But he chose not to be a doer of the word. And where did he wind up? In hell. He said, go warn my brethren so they don't wind up in hell also. And Abraham told him, They already have the word. They have already heard the word. They are choosing not to be a doer of it because they don't really believe what it says. First John chapter 2, verse 8. Now, he just got through saying, this works best if I read them together. Let me back up. Boy. The verse before this, he said, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning." And I'm sure he's talking about Leviticus 19:18. That's the old commandment. But now notice this. "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines." Well, now, since the commandment to love our neighbor as ourselves is as old as Leviticus 19:18, why does John suddenly call it a new commandment? And as I listened, this floated up. He called it a new commandment because Jesus called it a new commandment. John 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Now notice, there's a variation there. The old commandment was love your neighbor as yourself. This commandment, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. Now get this part. By this love, shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now see, Jesus added something from the old commandment. The old commandment was to love your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus is now saying, love one another as he has loved us. This is much higher than normal human love. Jesus said love is how, now get this, Jesus said love is how humankind will know, they'll be able to tell that you are his disciples. I didn't get this for a long time, but I kept focusing on this aspect. Love is how all men shall know that you are my disciples. I've done a lot of airport traveling in my life. I've had several jobs at lots of airports. I've been in airports 2-3 times a week. You sit in those airports and you watch all kinds of people come through. I've been delayed for... One day I got snowed in. One trip I got snowed in New York City. I had to sleep on my suitcase for 3 nights in the lobby of the hotel, of the airport. All the hotels were full. I had a big blizzard. Anyway, I've seen all these people walking through the airports. So I'm focusing on this part of what he said. Love is how all men shall know that you are my disciples. I got to thinking about being in the airport. You know, you can tell which people in that airport walking through, you can tell which ones are in the military. Why? Well, they're usually wearing the uniform. Isn't that right? They're known by their uniform. That's how you know. Okay? You can also tell people walking through the airport who are flight attendants. You can tell that real easy as they're walking through, or maybe the captain of the ship. They have a uniform on. Okay? They usually have sometimes a hat. They are known by the uniform they're wearing. But how will people be able to know who the disciples of Jesus are? They're known by the love they have one for another. In all of history, nobody has ever before been known by their love. But Jesus said, that's how people will know you're my disciple. I don't believe we're walking quite there yet, but I believe we're going to be walking there. See, you are a child of God. What is true in him is also true in you. The darkness is past. God is light. You are a child of light. God is love. You are a child of love. You walk in the light because you are a child of light. And now we're going to find out we walk in love because we are a child of love. It's in there. It's like Prego. It's in there. Everybody's still too stiff anyway. Now remember, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. For the reason John wrote that, you're a child of light, and in the real you, there is no darkness either. You're a child of God. You're a chip off the old block. What is true in Him is also true in you. So that brings us to 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Dave used to teach about this. He says, oh, yes, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. Well, hallelujah. I saw you were going to court the other day. Well, that's right. My neighbor was spraying for mosquitoes, and they accidentally got some of that spray on my lawn. And I'm going to sue them. Dave says, and right in that process, are you going to tell them about Jesus? He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. And let me ask you, have you ever known Christians that are really legalistic, but they're mean and hateful to people? I have. I mean, strict boy, judgmental. They give the appearance of being holier than everybody else. You know? They may proclaim to everybody that they are a disciple of Jesus, but everybody who's acquainted with them would never say, that person is known for his love. He didn't say you're going to be known by your legalism. You're going to be known by your love. But if you really love him, you're going to keep his commandments. I'm not going to get political. Okay. There's some people that I don't hate. I dislike them very much. I'm talking in the political arena right now. I'm not going to say which side or anything. That doesn't matter. But as I'm doing my own study here, I'm going, okay, I've been praying for the ones I like. I need to start praying for the ones that I don't like. No, I say it this way, the ones I don't approve of. And it's hard. I can tell. I'm going, man, and they're not even putting me on a cross. And I'm having a hard time praying for them. But what did Jesus say? Pray for them. Gary, you going to obey my commandments? Yes, Lord. When? Tomorrow. It's affecting me. But I'm going to obey him no matter what. See? If that's what it is, that's what it is. So again, that person that's all legalistic and holier than thou and strict and everything, you know, he's a real commandment keeper, boy. But nobody would say that guy is known for his love. You know, he's just judgmental and harsh. See, it's not the human kind of love being proclaimed by the world today. See, one of the mantras right now, one of the slogans, one of the banners of people that are promoting the alternative lifestyle. You know what I mean by that? Love is love. Have you heard it? Love is love. And what they're saying, it doesn't matter whether it's man and woman or man and man and woman and woman. Love is love. Yeah. But see, Jesus said, I want you to love with the love that I have loved you. Okay? See, modern society right now in America, they are using that phrase, and what I mean is love, they're using that phrase to twist the Word of God into something that God never said. God has never said that nowhere in Scripture has God ever said that that lifestyle is acceptable. But they're using love is love, see? Well, God is love. And those that love Him keep His commandments. And if you say you love Him and you do not keep His commandments, John is still being a faithful witness 50 years later by saying, you are a liar. You don't know Him and you don't love Him. See, God loves the sinner and is doing everything possible to save the sinner from eternal damnation. God loves the sinner even while He hates the sin. Is that a fair statement? We don't hate sinners, and we sure don't hate our brothers in Christ. But now remember, Jesus is our pattern. He says, love, I want you to love as I have loved you. Well, think about this. He loved the Pharisees. He loved them enough to tell them the truth. You are of your father, the devil. No. We're the uppity ups. We're the high. We're the standard. No, you're of your father, the devil. And if you don't believe that I am who I say I am, you're going to die in your sins. He loves them enough to confront their hypocrisy and tell them the truth, even though He knows it's going to wind up. They're going to hate Him so much, they're going to put Him on a cross. But He loves them enough to do it anyway. See, this is part of love. To love somebody enough to say, sir, I hear what you're saying, but that's just a load of no goodness. I'm trying to do better. That's just a load of not goodness. Don't know how to say it. Dung. Sue says dung. Yeah, that's a load of dung. Oh, yeah, that'll work. That's a good scriptural name. And if you see, love says, if you don't repent of that lifestyle, I have chapter and verse to say you will not go to heaven. And I love you enough to tell you the truth. Now, they may write articles about you. They may egg your house. They may flatten the tires on your car. They may do all kinds of horrible things. And what are you supposed to do while that's going on? Pray for them. Do good to them. But you don't alter the truth for them. You love them enough to tell them the truth. Because the person that hates them is the one that modifies the gospel and they wind up in hell for all eternity. That's the one that hates them. Jesus loved the Pharisees enough to tell them the truth, even though it meant they would crucify Him for doing it. We are to love the sinners of the world enough to tell them the truth, even if it means they call us haters, and they are, bigots. Even if it means persecution, even if it means persecution, and it may soon come to the point, even if it means imprisonment. I've already warned my mama. I said, Mama, you're 97. You may be on the planet a long time. Your son may wind up in prison. Because I am not going to perform a marriage for that alternate lifestyle. And I don't care if they threaten me with prison. I ain't doing it. And I want you to be proud of me if you ever hear of that now. If that's the reason I'm in there, I don't want you crying for me. Don't you worry. I won't be alone in there. I will not be alone in there. Not only will I have David with me, others, but who I'm really talking about is the Lord. The Lord will be with me in there, and I don't want you worried. I'm not going to be alone. I'm not going to be afraid now. Okay. But you got to love people. You got to love the Lord and love people enough to tell them the truth, even if they crucify you for it. See, this is a new commandment. He says, I want you to love like I have loved you. Jesus, one thing you say about Him, He never changed God's word in order to love anybody. Did you get that? I mean, He did not water it down, sugarcoat it, change it at all. If you don't believe I am who I say I am, you will die in your sins. Man. Hate is a terrible thing. Hate is darkness. You cannot walk in it and walk in the light of love at the same time. You'll always wonder why you... Do you notice how He said that? He said, stumbling... Where is it? Let me find how John said that. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true and in him, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. But what I really wanted to read was this. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knows not whither he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. The way I wrote that, I said, you cannot walk in hate and walk in the light of love at the same time. You'll always be wondering why you have trouble finding the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You're like a blind man groping in the dark. You'll be stumbling in the dark all the time because you're choosing to walk in darkness rather than in love. Y'all getting anything out of this? Man, 1 John is a bear. I mean, now, I'm kind of going to give you the end here right in chapter 2. The more I see now why John wrote this letter, and really all three of them, near the end of his life, that same doctrine that Jude talks about, that Peter talks about, these men that had crept in unawares, it was apparently pretty rampant in the church. And they were saying God's grace covers a lascivious lifestyle. And boy, this book of 1 John, I mean, it cuts that off at the knees, man. I mean, it just cuts it off. And he is very, very blatant about it. By the time we get through with this, we're going to be more his disciples than when we started. Amen? All right. I think that's enough for tonight. Glory to God. You want a preview? Come on. Come on. You like this? All right. See, now watch. You know how Dave taught us to meditate the word. Lord, Holy Spirit, show me where this starts and show me where it ends. And he, at times he would say, oh, poor Jesus, he couldn't stay on the same subject more than three or four verses. It looked like he would change the subject. See, in the next verse here, it looks like he changes the subject. Look, so 1 John chapter 2, the verse I just read, he's been talking about love, right? Verse 11, I'll read it again. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knows not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. And then it looks like he's totally, okay, we're going to start a new subject. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Okay, so we've quit talking about love now, and now we're going to talk about this. Really? Come down to verse 15. Love not the world. Wait a minute. He's not changing the subject. Previews. Give you a preview. That little phrase there in verse 12 where he says, I write unto you little children. That's a particular Greek word. I'll have it for you next week. I've already started the study for that one. That's a particular Greek word. Jesus only ever used it one time. One time. And for a love offering of He only ever used it one time. And he said little children. And it's the same word. And it was right after Judas had dipped the sop and left the room to go betray Jesus. And why did he do that? Because he loved the world more than he loved Jesus. He sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And right after that, Jesus, right after he left, don't worry, my little children. You're going to be okay. I don't have the verse right in front of me. That's where Jesus used it. If there was ever a manifestation of a person walking in darkness, not walking in love, it's Judas leaving that room to go get his 30 pieces of silver and betray Jesus. It's no coincidence that John brought that up right here. John was in the room leaning on Jesus' chest when it happened. Come on. Okay, that's enough. God. And then, no, okay, that's enough for me. Man, I tell you, I don't know how people say, I just can't get in the Word. I can't get out of it. I mean, I lose, who knows? I'll be in there and Jesus, you still in there? Anyway, Sue gets lost in it too. You ought to see her. She's always in the Word. That's, Now with Sue, she's got her Bible there on the table, and then she's got her Amplified usually right next to it, and then there's the blueprints laid out, you know, our prophecies, and she, man, time will go by, you know. Hallelujah. All right. I hope you're getting something out of this. I am sure getting something out of this. I'm having a good time. I want to remind you again now that teaching is available now at GaryCarpenter.org. It's not. If you go there, you won't find it. You have to go to YouTube. Just go to YouTube and you can just type in the mechanism of righteousness. Already tried it. It works. It'll bring it right up. And you can't miss it because on the front page, on the thumbnail, it shows David Harrigus with a crown and Joe over here with a demon mask on his face. Pretty easy to spot the right one. But we got him saved before it was over anyway. I think. Anyway, you're dismissed. I thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for, I'm having a good time whether you are or not. I can't hardly stand it myself.